You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for July 24th.
July?
All right.
And we are off and running.
And that is the Latin word for drinking. July here.
You will be amazed at how, the performance of this podcast, and then you will certainly appreciate editing. Oh, yeah. Because...
So you cut out the oon and you get the Jew and the lie together?
Every episode I mess up the date.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
You never know. You're lucky it's 2008.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. Well, no, sure. Well, I'm going to tell you, somewhere in the world, in one of those countries, it's June lie. Yeah, guarantee it.
It also depends on how much you've had to drink.
Oh, he's sober. That's the scary
That's
part.
That's the scary part.
Stone sober.
Anyway, let's try that again.
You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for July 24th, 2008. Special edition. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Yo.
In front of me is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hello.
And to my right, we welcome my brother, Pete.
How you doing?
Shall we play a game?
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Cinemaniacs. Sorry for the tardiness of the show, but we had some technical difficulties in the fact that we recorded our War Games Special Edition episode. They had a 25th anniversary showing of War Games across the country. Fathom Events put it on. And we sat down to record, and everything went fine. I think it was a great show. When we went back to in post to edit it and put it together, there was some sound mix-ups. So we've been trying to overcome those. I don't know what happened with the computer that we used for recording. However, we couldn't correct it. So rather than just scrap the whole episode... I took out the parts, because it wasn't the whole episode, the parts that were all scratched up and a bad sound recording, and I've taken them and placed them at the end of the episode. So after the end music plays and you hear some of the after show, then you'll hear the bad sound clips. And I put that on there for those of you like me that are a completist that want to see or hear everything. It's there for your enjoyment. In the meantime, we're going to join the episode in progress. We've already... talked about that we went to the Santa Fe movie theater here in town to view War Games, and we talked a bit about the actors, of course, Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy. I think everybody's familiar with them. Dabney Coleman, as well as the fact that Michael Madsen was in War Games. He was one of the original soldiers in the beginning of the movie, and we join our episode right now when we just started talking about Barry Corbin, who played the general in the movie, and his interview at the pre-show. Before the movie started, there was some special features, kind of like off a DVD, but they were behind the scenes, interviews with the cast and crew and the writers, Lawrence Lasker and Walter Parks. And so with that, let's join the War Games Special Edition episode as we talk about Barry Corbin.
Oh, I love that dude.
He's a good old boy, man. He's awesome.
Everybody talked affectionately about the film.
That's great.
John Badham, the director. They even had the writers on there, Lawrence Lasker and Walter Parks, and they talked about how many years. It was about 5 years in the making to get this script together.
Really?
And originally it wasn't even had anything to do with computers, because in 1978 when they started, computers weren't around like they were even in 1983. So, and I want to make a side note that those two guys went on to write Sneakers, which is another one of my all-time favorite movies.
That is one of my favorite tech spy movies.
That was the best hacker movie ever. I think right there.
Yeah. This ranks up there. That War Games, that just paves the way for hacker movies right there.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
So I was getting really, really frustrated, though, in this special feature because they kept showing parts to the movies. And I got my kids here who had never seen it, my 8 and 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. I had showed it to the 10 and 12-year-old before, but the 10-year-old didn't remember it. Right. And so they're giving away some key scenes in the movie that I'm not going to talk about necessarily here because I don't want to ruin it for anybody else. This movie is so fun, and there's so many comic gags and things that if you give them away, then that takes you away from the movie. To be sure, they didn't ruin the end of the movie they didn't ruin the end of the movie in this little trailer thing. I'm certainly not going to ruin it now.
But I was really getting frustrated to the point I leaned over Lisa and I said, I think I'm going to take the kids out to the lobby because I couldn't even enjoy these interviews because they kept showing scenes and like, oh, when we did this scene, everybody liked that a lot. It's like, yeah. And you just showed it, ruining it to 500,000 people across the country.
So something they probably should have shown after the movie.
Yeah.
After the movie.
That's what even what I mentioned to Walt before. So I hope they do the interviews after the movie.
Yeah. You
know? But what I thought was funny when they mentioned talking about the big screens they have, which shows, you know, the entire planet and where everything is.
Oh, and they were talking about
it. And they said that the military, when they had their military consultants come in or whatever for planning the movie, that they were kind of jaded because, hey, you got all these color screens and everything. We're doing national defense in black and white.
They're talking about NORAD, the same, right. Central exactly. Computers of Defense of the United States. And, yeah, the movie set like was this. Fancier than the real thing.
Right.
That's pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, that's some scary stuff.
That's very typical of the military.
Well, let me ask you, and this would, like, kind of get into their motives. Another of the things that they were talking about was a preview of this upcoming DVD sequel.
War Games 2, The Dead Code.
Is that where they slipped all this in as well, this upcoming DVD?
No. That was completely separate. They finished the special feature, right. And then they said, okay, here's War Games, The Dead Code, and they showed a preview of that.
But before the movie.
Right.
So that would make me kind of think that they would want to, you know.
You
start off with the special features to get their attention. Boom, we got your attention. You're paying attention. Now you're ready to watch the movie. Now we can slip in the sales pitch for the new.
Is that on DVD already?
It comes out Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Tuesday.
It's a straight-to-DVD release.
Right.
So you're going to get it. You're going to get it then, right?
It's really kind of what it makes me think.
By that time, you know, because when I mentioned Lisa, I was going to take the kids out. She said, no, they'll be all right. And I went in and asked them. I said, you guys, is this showing you too much of the movie? You want to go out? And they were like, no, it's all right. So yeah. I sat back and I said, okay, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm going to try to enjoy these interviews and behind-the-scenes things. And especially because back then, there was no CGI. I mean, there was computer graphics, but there were real computer screens showing.
On computers. Graphics, you know, on computers. Is
so,
what you mean.
Which is always nice to not see CGI like it's so overused today.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Which then brings you to The Dead Code, which is all CGI. But in the trailer for that, and of course, you can go online to see it. In fact, there's a link on our website, thecinemaniacs.com. And it will tell you that Joshua, who is one of the players from the first movie, I'm trying not to give anything away. They say it was. It's hard to describe how they even say it. In War Games, Joshua was going to do this and he's going to do that. Well, now he's doing this. And goes to explain how the computers get involved in this War Games 2 thing.
Now, we're going to be extremely disappointed with that part, too, just by the trailer alone.
I mean. Here it is. You have in the trailer some kid that is – well, there's a website that you go to and you play this game. Well, this game is made by the government to target terrorists, that is technology terrorists. And so if you're really good at this game, you must be a terrorist. And so they go after the kid who is really good after it because he must be a terrorist.
That's incredibly stupid. That's the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever heard.
Well, then the computer...
If you saw the trailer, you wouldn't think any differently.
The computer thinks that it actually is being terrorized, and it starts to want to launch the, you know, World War III. And so the kid has to help them solve the problem of this computer trying to launch World War III.
Well, I honestly think they're doing War Games a huge disservice by coming out with that sequel, I just got to say.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, any time that 25 years later a sequel's made, you know it can't be good.
Let it remain a classic. I mean, it was for its time, too. That movie was just unbelievable. And I just think you kind of crap on it with that DVD. I gotta be honest.
Sounds like it.
And also, like I said, by the time that trailer came on, I figured that this 25th anniversary event is really for people who loved the movie, like myself, to go see it. Not so much for new people to go see it. The event itself.
Well, yeah.
That is with the exclusive interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah. In retrospect, here's what I equate it to. When did E.T. come out?
82?
83, same time.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 2 months from now, they decide to do a 25th anniversary viewing of E.T. or whatnot, and then at the same time, they say, hey, we're coming out with E.T. 2 right to DVD. I mean, that would be the same thing. It'd be like, what, why?
Hmm.
Why? It was fine. Leave it. 25 years. Let's remember it like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just...
Well, they did do an anniversary edition of E.T. They didn't do it to Hawk A DVD.
No.
They did it to...
Did E.T. come back in the theaters for 25 years?
I don't know if it was 25 years or...
I know they had a 20th DVD.
They had some kind of... Well, they re-released it, and they added... They did new graphics. They Lucasized it. They, you know.
Would they add Jabba in it?
No. But the big thing with E.T. is like the FBI, instead of having guns, they had walkie-talkies now.
Well, not just that, but like...
Well, when they're chasing E.T. It's like, true. Put some candy on that shit.
That was terrible. Yeah, I know. That was really awful. But no, I guess the... and I've only seen scenes from it, but E.T. was CGI and more animated and everything like that.
And they have like some never before
just
seen.
That's all fun and good,
but like I'm saying,
doesn't mean you should.
Like I said, nobody crap on
our
DVD come out.
Copy that we have has.
Does it really? Yeah. Honestly, we've never watched it, or I've never watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all fun and good. They're trying to do something different, like with the Star Wars thing. Episodes, was it 4, 5, 6?
No,
Fire Strikes Back. Star 14, Wars, Fire Strikes Back.
16?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
4, 5, 6. Yeah.
But when they re-released, it's the exact same movie. They just put in some new graphics, kind of touched it up.
A couple extra stormtroopers.
Okay, I have really no problem with it. Right, little freaking worms running around or something.
Yeah.
But it's when here's a straight to DVD thing. Like if they did it with the ET, would do the same thing. Like what? Why? You know?
Yeah.
It'd be just doing a disservice.
That's marketing,
no,
baby.
I agree. I think they're kind of crapping on the memory of crapping on some people's childhood memories by using that as some kind of a reason to market this, straight to DVD thing, which is kind of sad.
It's all about money. Sometimes it comes down to money,
Was but the magic still there for you?
That's the big question, though. I mean, all that
of the movie itself.
The
sure,
movie
it
itself.
Was.
You know,
I mean, it,
you haven't seen it. On
I would like
big
to see them do a remastering. This was not a really great copy of the movie. You know,
so they even clean it up or anything like that.
It looks like
it's a grainy movie anyways.
Right.
But
we've seen older movies look a hell of a lot better.
Right. They need to remaster this and do a Blu-ray edition. And then, about halfway through the theater, the screening of this,
Oh, that's right.
It messed up. It the tape broke, and we're like, right in the middle of the movie, the screen messed up. Like, the tape broke, and the screen went black. And we're like, it's an old copy of the tape, the film. And then it wasn't even a film. A screen came up, and it was like Windows, and your active desktop has been disabled or something like that. It was like, this was a digital copy? What the heck?
That's funny.
And it messed up.
Then
I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, digital copy, it crashed. How are they going to bring it back up and get it right back to the place where it was? No tape breaks. It's sure no problem.
Yeah.
But they did it. It was a few minutes, not very long at all, and they got it back up and running.
That's very interesting. I was beginning to think, because it looked obviously to me that they just pulled out the old, whatever millimeter tape.
And went up to the internet videos,
man,
and
we're watching
or something.
We're watching the authentic 1983 copy, and figured, man, with this digital age, does anybody up there even know how to splice anymore? We might not be seeing the rest of this movie,
You were watching it streamed off of iTunes.
That's no joke, dude.
That's exactly what we thought.
Netflix is watch now. Watch instantly.
We're waiting for the Win DVD to come up on the screen,
Literally.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Fathom.
But it
Fathom uses right BitTorrents, people.
It did continue right from where it left off then. And, the magic was still there. I mean, the movie is still a solid story. That's number one. All the gags in it, the fun stuff, it's still there. The romance between the two of them is great.
And, hey, Dabney Coleman.
Coleman, gotta John Dabney Wood, Coleman. Or John Hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
These are great performances of this movie. This movie was nominated for 3 Oscars, by the way.
Really? I didn't know that.
Which one? Any actors or more? Just
like you're going to ask the technical supervisor.
Yeah, off the wall, special effects. Best boy group.
There you go.
You're the best boy group.
I am the best
boy group. Oh, my goodness. You would know. No.
Best cinematography, best sound, and best writing.
Nice.
The writing, it's deserved.
It is really good.
For its time, too.
I think that this movie is still whole. It holds water after 25 years.
Yeah. And it's still a relevant story that could happen. Maybe not the Russians against the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
But
the Cold War aspect of it might be a little dated, but not necessarily the fear of,
global thermal nuclearization.
War. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Probably put an Iraq spin on it.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they already went for the terrorist. The kid plays the game. Oh, yeah, you're a terrorist.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we had a blast, and I'm looking forward to the next Fathom events. I've gone to their website and tried to look at another big screen movie that they're bringing back, and there's nothing listed at this time. Mm-hmm. But
the reality is that you and Gregor is going on some road trip across Europe or something with another
adventure. That's the one they keep showing. You've seen the trailer for that. And Gregor on his motorcycle.
And I cousin finds himself.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
Star Wars earlier. Okay. Yeah.
After I crawled through a toilet.
Is this something
we
should have did before George Lucas knocked on your door? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that and, then they have some
Obi-Wan
drum
on
competition.
Is that what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Spills it, dude.
You've seen the previews for that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. No, that's all they show in the theater. Every movie we go to see is always Fathom Events. You know, they show the drumline thing. What is it called?
DCI Drum Corps International.
Drum Corps International.
That's some really impressive. Oh, you really got to be into that stuff. Man, that's some good stuff.
Oh, it's fun. It's exciting when you go see something like that and they actually achieve what
they want. If you're into that marching band thing, that is just wow.
They get into it. That's a serious
that's
competition.
Talented folks. Yeah. Jeff's over there, like, head spinning right now. I was talking about it.
Couldn't care less. I couldn't care less if I physically tried.
So, this is going to wrap up this special edition of the Cinemaniacs. And this weekend, we'll have a new episode out where we review the new films coming out this week, the X-Files, Step Brothers, and I think you guys are catching Darjeeling Limited also.
Going to try, yeah.
And next week's show, though, after that, then we'll review that War Games Dead Code.
We will.
Does that mean I have to watch?
Somebody will catch it.
I don't know. I got out of the War Games, going to the theater of the War Games. I may be stuck watching this DVD with it.
Wife Lisa. I've been saying wife Lisa for quite a long time.
You say that dreadfully.
My wife Lisa.
I know my place. I'll go upstairs.
Is that to the bedroom?
Bar-keesh.
If it has to be, that's fine.
Damn, if I said that, shit.
It's all good.
I'd get my ass kicked.
He sure would be mad.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
That was very nice.
Very nice, dude.
Damn, I gotta be careful of this, man. Jeez, you guys bring your A game to this.
And you can sit closer to me. It's not like we're at the theater.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, yeah.
This is a special midweek edition of the Cinemaniacs because we just got through watching, well, some of us, the 25th anniversary edition of the movie War Games, one of my all-time favorite films. In the theater it was released. Fathom Events put this nice thing on. And we wanted to tell you about it. It's not too often they bring back movies to the theater, especially 25 years after they were out.
Can I just say something real quick? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Why?
It's best friend in the whole world.
Yeah?
That's a little moment as the movie has life.
I know.
Endgame probably would show up.
He made me watch it back then.
He made me watch it.
You know, 25
years later.
Yeah. I know. Did you go?
I absolutely did.
You did?
I did.
Well, I am an asshole.
Well, you had to work.
I did work.
You better have had to work.
No, I did. I did not.
Yeah, huh?
I did not get home from work till long after, till probably pretty close till after the movie was over.
I took the night off from work.
Yeah.
Pete's day off. This is night off.
Well, you know, I still got to pay bills.
So we go over to the Santa Fe Theater here in town.
Yep.
And we go into the theater. Pete was very disappointed because it was not a very big theater. I think, by the estimate, might have been 200 seats in the theater.
Okay. How many of those 200 seats were
filled? Oh, it was better than halfway full. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
but when we showed up, there was only two people there, and they were sitting right in the row behind where we like to sit at.
Right.
We like to sit in not the front row, but the one behind it, kind of like.
Yeah.
And they were sitting behind us, and we just walked in with five kids. So in fact, the guy started backing up his stuff. He looked like he was leaving, but then he was just going into the trash can.
Right.
It felt a lot like right out of it.
So while he was out of the theater, and I had kids sit far away from them, you never know what kids are going to meet.
Sure.
But I let her know, because they were really talking. They were really active. They just ran into each other.
Right.
I let her know, hey, once the movie starts, these kids are going to be quiet.
Right.
And she kind of nodded, like,
right.
Yeah, okay. You know,
that before after you had the one laugh around the theater.
That was before.
She's not buying into this. You can't see these kids running for Christ's sake.
No, it doesn't happen too often, but sometimes the kids are a little rambunctious, or maybe we want to get them. We're not sure how they'll do in the movie.
Yeah.
Then we'll just have them walk up and down the stairs. You know, or the whole theater, up the stairs to the back, across and down the other stairs.
And that's before
the movie starts.
Before the movie starts. Everything.
Yeah. And those kids reacted like that was a regular regimen, I got to tell you.
I told them, sit up, but we left.
Yep.
And they just got up and started going. Get them some exercise, take the wind out of them.
You know what, they sat really good through that movie. They did a really good job. They loved the movie, I think. I hope.
I think.
Well, did you find out the responses afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, they liked.
I'm sure they'd seen it before, right?
Yeah, but they don't remember.
Okay.
So surprisingly, Chris filmed it, and they really liked it, and they wanted to buy it. I was shocked. It was in their cup of tea. So that's good. They all liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you haven't seen it, probably seen it in a bunch of years. How did it hold for you?
I don't think I've seen it in 5 years.
Okay.
Didn't you try to say that's the first time you ever saw it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I always remember the super big gulp scene. Wrap it up. For some reason, that's always stuck on my mind.
Any movie that's got a 7-Eleven in it.
Right.
I know that's a good movie.
And that was one of the things that I thought our kids would get into, because it's playing Galio, which is a new game. I got my kids into all the old school video games. You know, Galio, and in the movie they had Centipede and Tron.
Yeah,
all these in the background. But Galaga is one of the all-time great video games, and the kids know it and love it. And so when he was playing it, they were able to get on that.
Right.
Every time they show me Galaga, I heard it.
But it's like,
every time, they'll only know, Dad, I love that game! Single time.
That's a great game.
And they were sold on the movie. I tried to explain the movie, you know, the World War III aspect, the computer hacking, and they kind of gave me that dead stare like, I know what you're talking about. And then I mentioned, well, the computer talks. Oh, yeah, eyes lit up. Ooh, I want to see that.
Well, another thing that I prepared my kids with was that one of the more modern video games they played is called StarCraft. And in there, they have nuclear missiles. So I explained to them how the StarCraft game with nuclear missiles and the silo relates to this movie. The beginning, so they get a handle on it. Well, and now some of you have never seen War Games. Some of you listeners, War Games came out in 1983, of course, 25 years ago. Directed by John Badham, who's gone on to do many other films, such as Blue Thunder and Short Circuit, Stakeout. You know, I'm hoping some of these movies ring bells.
Like one of the quintessential 80s directors.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
No,
I mean that. Yeah.
He did that Nick of Time with Johnny Depp.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That was a great
movie. Yeah, he's done tons of movies.
That's
great. Point of No Return, a remake of Little Femme that he directed that.
Wow. Not as good as Little Femme, but still a great remake.
So, plenty of hits though under his belt. And directed to their first starring roles, Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy. Matthew Broderick, of course, has done many movies, not least of which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And Election was that hit with Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
He was in Inspector Gadget, Godzilla, many hits over the years. And Ally Sheedy was the most famous, I think, for being in Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
The little black-dressed girl in the back.
Yep. She was
just saw that
before
the
film
yesterday.
Yeah. You know, in that movie, you see a really young Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen is in the
Yeah.
Really?
He didn't know those either.
No,
oh, wow.
The beginning, and we're like, hey, is that Lisa Lindsay? I think that's Michael Madsen.
Sure.
He's one of the officers in the beginning of the movie that, you know, the soldiers that are in charge of turning the keys to get the missiles launched.
Oh, Oh, that's
he couldn't have been what 23 years old. He looked. He was, I was annoyed.
I think his partner in that segment isn't he on a TV show?
I don't know. He might be, but you know who he was. It stood out in my mind was from the movie The Rock with Sean Connery and Nick Cage.
Uh-huh.
He was that FBI agent that Sean Connery hated.
Oh
yeah,
that's who he was. Yeah, he's a much younger version with hair, but
You know who else was in it? You ever saw Friday?
Yes.
You know the dad in Friday?
Oh, Tommy Witherspoon?
The one that he's always talking about crabbing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. He plays one of the guards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he plays a guard at the gate. I was like, oh, hey, look, I know that dude.
That's cool, man.
So, yeah, that was crazy. But it was really surprising to see Michael Jackson.
He played David Allen Greer's
name.
Yeah, exactly.
It was awesome.
That's Timmy Witherspoon. Tim Witherspoon, I think.
That guy is awesome.
But he's hilarious.
Love that.
Yeah. We had a little bit part. Yeah, you
didn't mention Ally Sheedy, and she was all goth and everything. The Breakfast Club just so happens I saw yesterday come on HBO or whatnot. And, man, Molly Ringwald pretty her up at the end of that movie. She was absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club told her about the transformation, the whole makeover game. Wow.
Yeah, she's pretty.
But we saw her the interview before the movie.
Okay, well, let's get to that.
Yeah, Father Time has not been good to her.
Well, no,
it's good enough. You try pushing 50 and not look good.
Hey, I'm going to be there myself, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The beginning of the, before the movie starts, they have, I'm going to call it like a DVD special feature. Okay. It was behind the scenes. They had exclusive interviews with the cast and creators or makers of the film. Never before seen interviews, as I said.
Was this back then, or?
No, they're modern day.
Really?
Like Pete said, she was on there nowadays. Barry Cord, who played the general in the movie, he is all bearded up, cowboy hat, gray hair.
No, I love that guy. He's
Barry Cord. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is like 25 years later, they went to him and said, hey, we're doing this anniversary thing. You want an interview?
Did they get
Matthew Broderick's there. He had his beard going on.
Yeah.
That guy cool. That looked like he just got off the tractor from the farm, man.
Well, I was going to say, don't you have work that I
me.
Wow.
So, I may have sister that one.
Wow, you should have been.
I really liked the movie or anything like that. I really didn't care about season like anniversary. I've been more just hanging out with my friends. But, you know, I'm a greedy whore. I need to meet myself.
Everybody loves a greedy whore.
Mm. Speaking of which, go to our website, thecinemaniacs.com,
/greedy whore. There's no /greedy whore. I'm joking.
Yeah, /greedy whore.
Help promote our sponsors.
There you can see links to our other shows. Email us, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com, and let us know any comments, pop up news that you'd like us to know, talk about, and we'll read your emails on the air.
Don't forget to vote for us on that.
Podcast Alley. Go to Podcast Alley. You can vote for us. The better and higher up in the rankings that we get it, more listeners, we make a better show for you.
It's true.
And drink a lot when you're listening to our show. The shorter you are, the better we sound.
I think that is the first time he's ever doing it like a professional. He's okay. So proud.
So with that, have a good night.
Later.
Good night.
Out.
Shall we play a game?